The book of 2 Samuel tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 23. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Read some verses there together tonight. I'm so glad you're here, and I want to encourage you to be back tomorrow night. Let's just see what the Lord has for us. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to start reading in verse number 8. If you want to read there with us, we'll read through verse number 16. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8 through verse 16. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Amen. I appreciate you, Pastor, don't you? Amen. He's a fine, fine fella. And I appreciate him. And I know that this is October and Pastor Appreciation Month. And I know that you've already had Pastor Appreciation Sunday. But I want to tell you something. You can go by and tell him thank you anytime you want to. It won't hurt nothing. Just do it, all right? Slip him $50. Pat on the back. Say thanks. Tell him he looks nice. Nice haircut. Both of them. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to start reading in verse number 8, as I've already said. If you would just read along with me here, follow along as I read aloud. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. Listen to what he did. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. 800 to 1, and he slew them. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. What a name. The son of Dodo, the Ahohite. One of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. I want you to notice verse number 10. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword. Notice verse number 15. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. I want to preach to you tonight for a little while on water for a weary warrior. Water for a weary warrior. Amen. Would you pray with me before you're seated? Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just add your anointing to the word of the Lord and the preaching tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would just center our mind and our attention upon this portion of Scripture, and that you would minister to the hearts here tonight. God, most of all, I'm asking you to move in the altar and touch some heart and some soul. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen. Water for a weary warrior. We have read here tonight the account of three of David's mighty men. We read first of all of one by the name of Adino in verse number 8. Adino the Esnite. The Bible tells us that he lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Adino stood among quivering circumstances. 800 men to one. I don't know anybody that I would want to put up against 800. I wouldn't want to stand there, Brother Miller, against 800 at one time. That is a quivering circumstance. But yet he was a warrior and he stood for God. We read next of Eleazar in verse number 9. And the Bible tells us that everybody else left him and he alone had to stand and face the Philistines. But yet he stood among quitting companions. Everyone else left, but he stood for the Lord all by himself. Praise God. Then we read about Shammah, and the Bible tells us that he stood for a bean patch. A piece of ground that was full of lentils. I imagine that everybody else looked at him and said, why would you stand for that? And so we can say that he stood for something that was a questionable conviction. But yet he stood for the Lord. One stood among quitting companions. One among quivering circumstances. And one among questioning convictions. But yet they all stood because they were warriors for the Lord. These are some great men of God. They did mighty things for the Lord. And you can read about all through the chapter mighty men that did great things for God. Can I tell you tonight that God is still looking for people who will be warriors for the Lord? Every saint of God is called to be a warrior. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 32, it said, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. God is looking for some warriors. Amen. I see several things here tonight. Let's look together. The first thing I notice is the warrior in the battle. Amen. In every instance here that we read tonight, it was one man against a host of the Philistines. Each one was willing to stand alone against the enemy. And the Philistines were opposing them. Now that was nothing new because the Philistines opposed the children of God every day of their life. They came against them. They battled them. There was a hatred there for the children of God. Can I bring that down tonight to us and talk about Saint and Satan? Because friend, we are a warrior for God. We are to stand for Him. All through the Bible we see that we are to be fighting for the kingdom of God. You've got to put on your armor and fight. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, it said, fight the good fight of faith. In Jude verse number 3, it said, contend for the faith. In Timothy, Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. In Ephesians chapter 6, we read about the armor of the warrior. Can I tell you, friend, that you and I, as Christians, are to be warriors for the kingdom of God. God did not sign us up to be wimps, but God signed us up to be warriors. He did not sign us up to be sissies, but He signed us up to be soldiers. And what we've got to do, friend, is realize we're on the battlefield. Amen. We're in a war, and we've got to stand up and be a warrior and fight against the opposing enemy that is against us. Who is against us? We're looking at the warriors. We see that the saint is on one side, but I'll tell you who's on the other side is Satan. He is our adversary. He is our opposing warrior. He hates every one of us. He hates God. He hates Jesus Christ. He hates the Bible. He hates the church. And he's doing everything he can to defeat us. As a matter of fact, John chapter 10 and verse 10 said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He has come to steal your vision, to kill your soul, and to destroy your ministry. He delights to destroy men. He loves to battle us. He is
a warrior, and we must be warriors against him. Hey, listen here now. He is our opposing warrior. It's not the brother across the aisle. It's not the other sisters in the church. It's not the pastor or his wife. It's not the deacon. No, 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 friend. I want to tell you, do not ever get fooled by the enemy into thinking that a brother or a sister is against you, because that is not your enemy. They are not against you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. He is not our enemy in this building, but it is hell that is against us. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Amen. The next thing I see here, not only the warriors, but I see the weapons. You see, Satan has weapons. Amen. Have you ever felt one of his weapons come against you? Because he does have an arsenal that is full of dangerous weapons, like fear. Amen. Have you ever felt fear in your heart? Amen. The Bible said that God has not given us a spirit of fear. It is a weapon of the enemy. Anytime the Holy Ghost speaks to you and tells you to do something, but you're afraid, it's not God, but it's the enemy trying to stop you. Amen. Oh, a few years ago, my wife had a spirit of fear that came upon her. And every night when we laid down in the bed, amen, a spirit of fear would get a hold of her, and she would be afraid of sounds in the night, dreams of murder, dreams of bloodshed, amen, and we had to wake up nightly and rebuke the spirit of fear. I want to tell you, friend, hell will use that fear against you. That is one of his weapons. Another one is discouragement. If you're feeling discouraged, let me tell you, it's not of God, but it's a weapon of the enemy, and he's trying to destroy you. Gossip, slander, amen, division, disunity, amen, a little thing between a brother and a sister, or a sister and another sister, amen, that is a weapon of the enemy. Worldliness that the enemy tries to bring in, compromise, temptation, bitterness, all of these are weapons of the enemy. Hey, do you know that they're dead? Yes, we do, friend, because many children of God have died on the battlefield because hell got one of these little weapons and destroyed their life and their soul in hell. Oh, but I want to tell you something. Heaven didn't leave us defenseless. Amen. You look at every one of these men we read about. One of them had a spear. One of them had a sword. They all had a weapon. And you've got some weapons that you can use against hell. Amen. When we look in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and if you wouldn't mind just to turn over there tonight, I want to show you some of them. Amen. First of all, I want to tell you while you're turning there that our weapons are not carnal. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's not just tanks, it's not guns, it's not any weapon like that. But our weapons are spiritual. Now listen to what they are. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith is your weapon, friend. That faith that you have in God, that trust that you have in the Lord, it is a weapon to use against the enemy. Who is the enemy? Satan. And he comes against us with all of his fiery darts, with all of his attacks, and we hold our shield of faith up, and it deflects all of the attacks of the enemy. You've got to have some faith in God. You've got to have some faith in the Lord, and it will be a defense weapon for your soul. When I begin to study on this shield of faith, it said that it was a curved piece of wood, probably covered over with leather, and it would have handles in the back where you would strap it on your arm and hold on to it with your fist. Amen. And you would pull that, amen, that
a shield right here, and you could look right over the top of it, and it would go all the way down to your ankles, and it would deflect all of the attacks of the enemy. Friend, God has given us faith, and we ought to hold it up in front of us and let it deflect every weapon that He brings against us. When He throws discouragement your way, you just hold your weapon up, the shield of faith, and say, I believe in God, and He will not leave me alone. Amen. Oh, I believe in God, and He will not turn His back on me. When your faith gets weak, do you know what to do? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. When you're tired and your faith is about worn out, get back to the book, read another chapter, listen to another preaching tape, and let your faith be built up in God.
Look at verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's another weapon for us. When you have that shield in front of you, that book I was reading, the history book, it said that soldier would reach around with his arm and he would jab his sword at the enemy. He's holding that shield up and he would reach around and jab at his enemy. Hallelujah. Friend, that's what the Word of God is. It is our sword. Remember when Jesus was tempted? Amen. He said, it is written. Amen. The devil came back again and tempted him again. But he said, it is written. He was jabbing that old sword over there at the devil. And friend, when you're tempted and your faith is weak and you don't know what to do, just jab the sword over at the enemy and he will leave you alone for a season. It is one of our weapons that we have. I like the third one. Verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and we have Spirit-led prayer. Now I know that some people say it sounds charismatic. And I want to go on the record right here and tell you, I'm not charismatic. But I am Pentecostal. And I do believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I do believe in praying in the Spirit. Amen. The Bible said in the book of Jude, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You gotta build yourself up by praying in the Spirit, friend. The Bible said in Romans that the Spirit Himself helpeth us. Amen. When we don't know how to pray, amen, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. I believe sometimes, Brother Wilson, when you get in prayer and you don't know what to say, that you can just begin to pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost knows just what to pray and just what to say. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Amen. Hell can't hear it. Hell can't understand it. Hell doesn't know what you're saying. It's a weapon that we can use. And it's a straight line to God. Friend, listen. You've got to learn how to pray in the Holy Ghost. You've got to learn how to let the Spirit move in you and pray through you. It'll bring strongholds down. It'll break yokes and bonds. It'll do a wonder for your family if you use the weapon of prayer in the Spirit. Hey man, that's our weapons. That's our weapons. But let me preach to you now. We find here that our man by the name of Shammah in verse 10, or rather Eleazar, was it Shammah? Eleazar, look what he said, verse 10. He arose and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword.
Here's a man that's been fighting against his enemy for a long time. And he fought so long that the Bible said he got weary. Now remember, he's a warrior. He's got his weapon, the sword, in his hand. And he's been fighting, Brother Gus, against hell. Amen. He's been fighting against the Philistines that want to destroy him. And the Bible said he got weary. He got tired. Amen. Let me ask you, have you ever got tired in your fight for the Lord? Have you ever just got weary in the battle for the Lord? You're trying to do what's right. You're trying to pray. You're trying to swing the sword. Lord, you're holding up your shield of faith, but now you just got weary in the battle. You might have known or prayed all you know how to pray. You might have fought with the devil for your family. You might have been wrestling with worldliness in your church. Amen. Oh yes, you might have fasted and prayed day after day, and now you're just weary. Have you ever felt tired in your walk with the Lord? I know I have. Amen. Oh yes, it comes upon us that we get tired in our battle. Hey, but listen, you're not the only one. Paul got weary. David got weary. Samson got weary. And our hero in the text, Eleazar, it said he got weary. And even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, got weary. Oh, listen, it's not a sin to get tired. It's not a sin to get burnt out. It's not a sin to get so weary that you don't know if you can go on. Hey, you are not alone when you feel tired in the battle. When I was pastoring in South Carolina, hey, shouldn't have told you where it was. But when I was pastoring, hey man, we had an all-out attack of hell. Came against our church. We didn't know what to do. I was a young fella, still young. Amen. But division got in. Disunity got in. People that had been best friends were now turned against one another, and they were working against each other in the house of God. Amen. I didn't know, Brother Johnston, what to do. I would cry and pray. I would weep and study and read the Bible. I sought advice from other men. I didn't know what to do. And I'll tell you, I got weary. I just got burnt out. Amen. But oh, glory to God. Amen. I read this scripture here, and it said that when he got weary, his hand clave to the sword. Amen. He didn't throw it down. He didn't quit. He didn't give up. No, no, no. He didn't let it slip. But he turned around and got a better grip. Amen. He held on tighter until his hand could not let go. Friend, listen to me. You might be weary here tonight. You might have come through hell. You might have every demon against you, but I came to preach to you tonight. Don't give up when you get weary. Don't turn your back on God when you get tired. You might get weary of the battle, but don't get weary of the Lord. Hold on to Him. Hold on to Him. He did not throw the sword down, but He got a better grip. Church, don't quit. Brother, don't quit. Sister, don't give up. Amen. Don't turn away, but hold on to the Lord. Amen. Weary. 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 But now I want you to notice one other thing. Go down to verse 15 and 16. It's talking about David now. And it said, David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water at that well of Bethlehem. Not any old well in Bethlehem, but that one that's right by the gate. If I could just have a drink of that water, I know it would help me. Oh, glory to God. David was tired. You look at the situation there. He was surrounded by the enemy. They were in a, he was in a hold, and the garrison had Bethlehem locked down. There was nothing he could do, Brother Bill. And so he was tired, and he said, I just need a drink of that cold water from that well in Bethlehem. Amen. I need a drink. Hey, listen here, friend, when you get weary in the battle, when you get weary in the war, and it seems like your enemy has got you surrounded, and you don't know what to do, we've got to do what David did. David said, I got to have a drink of that refreshing water that's over in the well at Bethlehem. Let me point something out to you. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Who is our bread? Jesus Christ. And so really the house of bread is the house of God. And he said, I got to have a drink from that old well at the house of God. I gotta get back there and get a drink. Friend, when you get tired and you're wore out and you're burnt out and you feel like hell's come against you, don't give up, but get up and go over there to the well and get another drink. Go back to the house of God. Go back to that altar and dip your cup in and get a fulfilling drink. Hey, the warrior might be faint, but the way has been found. And the well is full, and the water is free. And so why don't you drink? Amen. Tonight, in this revival service, take a drink of the water of grace. Get a refreshing right here at the well that you got saved at. Amen. I read an illustration, a story, of a caravan that was in the Arabian desert. They ran out of water and they were about to die. So they knew what to do. They had been in this shape before. They took a runner, a trained runner, and they sent him out from the caravan running. He would run until he was just about on the horizon, just about to disappear. And another runner would take off right in his footsteps in the sand. If he ran that far, where he was just about out of sight, another runner would take off right in his footprints. And they would go like that until the first runner found water, a well out there in the desert. And he would stop, Brother Johnston. And he would turn around and yell back at the top of his lungs, come, for there is water. And that other runner that was running right behind him would hear the cry. And he would turn back and yell back again and relay the message, come, for there is water. Amen. They would relay that message all the way back to the caravan. And when they heard the cry, they would turn and follow the footsteps, the footprints of the runner. Amen. When I read that, I thought of this verse, Revelation 22 and 17. Said, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Friend, I want to tell you, when you feel weary in the battle, when you feel like you're about to drop, amen, that's when heaven looks down and said, come here, for there is water. Come back to the house of God. Come back to the altar. I've got water. I've got plenty for you. Don't die in the battle. Don't give up in the battle. But run back to the altar and get you a drink of the Spirit of God one more time. Oh, how many times, friend, have you been dry? But come back to the well and found it full. Amen. Oh, you got to do tonight is come to the well. Come to the well. Stand with me if you would tonight. Hey. Hallelujah. 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 Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you would help somebody.
Lord, I pray tonight that you would give us a drink of heavenly water. Hallelujah. I pray that you would refresh some saint of God that's been in the battle, that's been in the fight. I pray that you just give them a refreshing tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Church, if you're here tonight and you just need a drink, it doesn't matter for what reason that you're weary. But if you're here tonight and you just want a drink and get a refilling of the precious Spirit of God, maybe you're weak and you need strength. Hey man, I just want you to come to the altar and I want you to dip your spiritual cup in the well and I want you to take a drink of God's precious touch again tonight. Could you come to the altar? Hey man, could you come? Anybody that wants a drink? Anybody that's thirsty? It said, whosoever will. Whosoever will. It doesn't matter your race, your creed, your color, your wealth. It doesn't matter your status. Whosoever will, come and drink, 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 drink. Lord, refresh us tonight. Lord, refresh us tonight. Lord, refresh us tonight. Oh, God, refresh us. 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 Refresh us tonight. Refresh us tonight, O Lord.
Come to the light, giving water.
Come and drink of the water of grace.
For just one sip will cleanse the soul.
I'll give you a drink tonight. He's opened the well of grace. Just come and drink of it.
That makes everybody come.
Refresh them, oh God. Refresh every saint tonight.
Come to the light, giving water. Just one glimpse, another glimpse. There's just something about the water that makes everybody long to come again. There once was a woman to the life-giving water. Just one glimpse will cleanse the soul from sin. There's just something about the water that makes everybody to come again. Come to the life-giving water. Let's get the soul from sin. There's just something about the water that makes it come to I'm drinking at the springs of living water. I'm happy now, am I? My soul is satisfied. I'm drinking at the springs of living water. A wonderful and bountiful supply. I'm drinking at the springs of living waters. I'm happy now and I, my soul is satisfied. I'm at the springs of living water. My wonderful and bountiful supply. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now and I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, a wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living waters from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful enough, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply.